Blog Talk Radio.
Over the past 232 broadcasts, we thank you for listening in. This is the place that you can come each week to talk and listen to the wonderful men and women known as the Eastern Family, how they share their thoughts and memories of the best days of our lives. Our broadcasts are about Eastern years as early as 1928 from Pitcairn to Eastern and even the new Eastern Airlines group. We hope that you'll be part of our show and participate. For those listening to the broadcast on their computers, all you need to do is call us at 213-816-1611, and it will put you on Neil's producer's board, telling us what's on your mind or adding to the subject being discussed. Remember, unless Neil has opened your phone connection to join the live conversation, you'll need to press the number 1 button on your phone's keypad to join in. For those who cannot listen in on a computer, you can still hear and participate by calling the number you just heard. Also, keep in mind that your telephone and or microphone picks up any noise that might be in the background, so please make sure that you mute your phone or keep as quiet as possible during the broadcast. Just as a reminder, for those wanting to listen to our show live on Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, you can connect by going to www.ealradioshow.com, or you can also connect with the show at our sponsor's website, www.repaonline.com. That's the site of the Retired Eastern Pilots Association. Let me repeat the phone number for the show again, 213-816-1611. Also, as a reminder, at the end of each of our shows, we usually have time remaining for Eastern music, or music we grew up with while working at Eastern. At the end of each of our broadcasts, we'll feature a different recording artist that we will all recognize or play a genre of recording selected by your producer. We hope you'll stick around after the sign-off music has been played for this part of the Eastern Airlines radio show. Steve.
Neil, the prop is all clear, so how about let's cranking up that 2800 and let's get the show rolling down the runway. It's all clear.
Okay, Captain. I see the extinguisher on the ground. So we'll crank up the R2800 and give you 6 blades so you can put the mags on and we can get this thing going. prettiest engine I've ever heard start up. I've never heard an engine that smooth. Well, this must be the R2800. That's not it either. But I don't know what's going on here. Oh, here it is, right here.
It's still clear.
You can't blame it on
clear.
Truck.
All right. All right, besides the standby music, all right. Let's see if we can get the prop going and start our show. Clear.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, after our engine has started, we know we're in we're in full gear. We have some feature departments that we plan to update with news each week, and there are a couple of them coming up here. If you'd like to take part in any of these discussions, please feel free to give us a call at 213-816-1611. What's in Chuck's toolbox this week?
Before Chuck goes on with his toolbox, Jim Hart, I'd like to say that this is typical, folks, when you listen in to the EAO radio show, because your producer doesn't know what he's doing here. And he's hitting all sorts of buttons. And there's not really many buttons on this screen that I see, but I seem to screw it up every time. And that's why I like to call this kitchen table radio. But it's actually Blog Talk Radio. And we have fun anyhow every Monday, and we hope you can forgive my mess ups here. I'm gonna have to ask for a raise if I have to do any better than this, from zero to zero, I guess. But Chuck has got a really interesting story that happened to him. Chuck, it's yours in Chuck's toolbox.
Yeah, I was working on a Doctor's Beechcraft Bonanza aircraft at a local airport, kind of a fixed-base operator in their maintenance hangar. The doctor, having a day off from his surgical procedures, decided to come out and see what we were doing to the engine that needed a new cylinder. I saw him come in and shouted across the hangar, "Hey, Doc, can I ask you a question?" The surgeon, a bit surprised, walked over to the engine I was working on his Bonanza. I straightened up, wiped my hands on a rag, and asked, "So, Doc, look at this engine. I open its heart, take the valves out, fix them, put them back in when I'm finished, and works just like new. So how come I get such a small salary and you get such really big bucks when you're doing basically the same thing?" Well, the surgeon paused and he smiled. Then he leaned over and whispered to me, "Try doing it with the engine running."
That is a great one.
Okay.
I got some news that's come out here. Boeing is prepared on their 777X model airplane. They're going to have a folding wingtip. The prototype is being tested. Large span, high efficiency wing design has been a hallmark of Boeing's stable since the birth of commercial aviation jets. Now the company plans to take this to a new level with an innovative folding wingtip design to increase the span of the new 777X family. The airframers are preparing to test a prototype version of the deployable wingtip features as it's being designed for the XXX. A little more news coming up. We have a new NASA has got a roadmap towards a possible nuclear rocket flight demonstration with the capability of generating high thrust and 100% more specific impulse than the basic chemical rockets that we see today. The time and cost-saving potential of a nuclear thermal rockets from deep space missions is once again gaining interest at NASA. Although they never flown the NTR concept, it's very simple. The rocket engine is based around a nuclear fusion reactor that heats the liquid hydrogen propellant instead of igniting a combustible fuel. Back to you, Jill.
Hey, is Jill with us tonight? Let me see if I can find Jill
find
on
Jill?
Our board. Jill, are you with us? Well, up and down the aisle with Jill is going to have to be replaced. And perhaps she'll be with us in just a minute. But, Chuck, what you were talking about.
Okay.
Hello? Oh, okay. I thought I was listening to Jill there for a minute.
Jill, go ahead, Neil.
But what I was thinking when you were talking about that a folding wing on a Boeing, you know, military aircraft, of course, a lot of military aircraft have the folding wings, especially those aircraft that are on aircraft carriers, primarily for storage and packing and above and below deck. And so they've come up, and now the new sports aircraft and the experimental aircraft are also using designs that require wing fold-ups, such as automobile airplanes, which there are several now that are prototypes that are being developed for commercial sales. And I saw a couple of them this week. They're really pretty cars, and the prettier airplanes once they fold their wings and take off. And, of course, watching them drive down the highway to the nearest airport where they unfold their wings and give it the power, and up they go. It'll never happen on the roadways because we've got too many obstructions along the way. So they always have to go to an airport or a field approved or whatever. And but they're beautiful airplanes. And when I got to thinking about folding wings, I always think back to my real good friend, Carl Winters. I don't know if you guys remember Carl. Steve, you may remember him in Atlanta.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, Carl was a pilot with the Air National Guards out in Marietta, the Marietta Airport, and he was an Eastern pilot, a wonderful person, super person. I think he was even a Czech airman of some, whether it's flight engineer or whatever. And he took off in his aircraft, fighter-type aircraft. I can't remember the type, but it had the folding wings, and they were what he thought were down and locked, but the locking mechanism didn't work on his takeoff. And unfortunately, Carl took off and the wing folded on him. And I'm not as accurate at this story, but basically that's what happened. And Carl crashed the airplane and died at the Marietta Dobbins Air Force Base out there where they occupied the Air Force and the Navy occupied that airport. But I always worried about the mechanisms, you know, and I don't know exactly what the results were so many years ago. It happened back in the 70s, early 70s. So, but that always bothered me to have a locking device for a wing that folds. Chuck?
You know, the F-4 was that way. It folded up.
Maybe it was an F-4 that he was taking off on. It seems like to me it was.
But those are basically for space saving. This one, this is to extend the wing square footage, so to speak, or, to increase it. It's kind of like the wing tips that are straight up today.
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen them at the end of the wings, they have another straight up portion of the wing.
Yeah, wing tip. Yeah, winglets.
Winglets.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's the theory behind it. So, since we have a little time, I had another little thing you might guys want to know. I never knew this is even around. There is a Concorde Club that hopes to return the iconic supersonic jet to service. The club is made up of several Concorde pilots and regular flyers. Has raised enough money to refurbish a grounded Concorde and return it to service by the end of the decade. Now that the money is no longer the problem, it's over to those who can help make it happen. And they're looking for people to come and work on the airplane and stuff. So that it was in my maintenance package that I had. Has anybody ever heard of that club?
No, I've never heard of it.
Neither have
how
I.
Do I join?
You know, you're talking...
How do I join?
Yeah,
hey, Neil.
Yes, George?
Yeah, hi, how you doing? Sorry I'm late this evening.
Oh, that's all right. Good to hear from you.
Did you get that email I sent you today about that supersonic corporate jet?
Well, was that the Concorde, the 20-passenger aircraft?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what Chuck was just talking about, I guess.
Yes.
And yeah, and 20 passengers, yeah. That must be a private. Is it a private or is it designed for a commercial operation?
I think it's privately owned.
What I'm reading is privately owned.
It's absolutely amazing what is coming off the drawing boards nowadays, and it's just unreal. People will be taking off from their backyard, going out into space, I suppose, before long.
They might. Hopefully, they can.
Wonder what the FAA can do about that.
They'll have backyard inspectors.
Yeah.
There you go.
Backyard inspectors. There you go. That Jill Cotton, are you with us? No, she's not with us. I don't know what happened to Jill tonight. But folks, she had such a good report that she sent it to me, and I'm going to read it for her. And I think it's very, very interesting. But it talks about you want to get even with an annoying fellow airline passenger. Forget Twitter. After all, 140 characters won't get you very far when you have a lot to complain about. Do like 24-year-old Munyi Law did after a recent nightmarish 8-hour Air Asia flight from Singapore to Sydney. Write a 550-word manifesto to the passenger in seat 15A who made you crazy all night long. Now, how did that work? The Malaysia-based writer posted her scathing and hilarious missive on the Singapore humor site SGAG. It has gone viral. Now you can pick it up on the internet, and it's no wonder. With commentaries like this, after her fellow passengers nestled his feet in the crevice next to her seat, the stench was so strong that I turned to check if the old lady seated next to me was still breathing. Her reaction to this pounding on the back of her seat. To date, I have yet to regain full mobility of the lower half of my body, and it doesn't stop there. Here's the full text of Lau's letter. Your passenger in 15A. You do not know me, but I was seated in front of you during the flight from Singapore to Sydney on April 12th. What I had initially thought to be a routine flight turned out to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and it was all because of you. I am writing this letter to thank you personally. Being the cheapskate that I am, I did not pay extra for a seat next to the emergency exit. Though it offered more legroom, I couldn't be bothered to read the special safety procedures. The last thing I would want is to compromise the lives of all the innocent passengers because I do not know how to open the airplane door. Despite my common economy seat, you offered me a full back massage by repeatedly kicking the back of my chair. To date, I have yet to regain full mobility of the lower half of my body. But since I am single, I suppose I don't have much use for it anyway. I did not pay for the in-flight entertainment package, and I was worried that I might get bored. But my concerns were unnecessary. You were talking so loudly as if your friend was seated in the cargo hold rather than right next to you. Perhaps she's hard of hearing. This might strike you as odd, but for the first time in my life, I wished I had a hearing impairment too. Also, could you tell me where you bought those obnoxious snacks? I assume that they must have been delicious because you rip one open every 30 minutes. Thanks for the loud rustling and chewing ambient sounds. It was appreciated. At this point, I thought, it can't get any better than this. But what I had meant as a rhetorical question, you took as a challenge. For immediately my nose was assaulted by a putrid smell of death and decay. The stench was so strong that I turned to check to see if the old lady seated next to me was still breathing. It was so nice of you to take off your shoes and put your feet between my seat and the plane window. It must have taken considerable effort. It was a small space for you, stuck it as close to my face, and you stuck it close to my face as you possibly could. Your kindness moves me. The sun is rising above the horizon. The sky is bleeding crimson and gold. But I cannot turn to gaze at this everyday miracle because every time I do, I smell the anus of Satan. I had half the mind to pull down the oxygen mask above me, but then I remembered that I was flying on a budget airline, so I probably have to pay extra for that. Did you know that you have made me a more religious person? I have said more prayers in that 8-hour flight than I have in my entire life. I was torn between asking God for strength to endure the rest of the journey and sweet Guam Yin Ma, is Buddhist nun, take me home. This experience has been so memorable that I am writing this from my therapist's office. I have also signed up for 10 more sessions to talk about it. Thank you once again. Sincerely yours, Passenger 14A. And that's the life of a flight attendant, I suppose. I don't know how they took the abuse and all the kindness of passengers over the years. Some have been in it a long, long time. Some married off in the beginning of their career. Some, like one Eastern flight attendant, is still with the airlines after having been employed with Eastern back in the mid-1950s. So that's a long, long time. I don't know. I bet she has some very interesting. We're hoping to get her on the radio show in the very near future, by the way.
She's
went
still
from
flying?
Eastern to the USA. Mm, I'm sorry?
She's still flying?
Yes, she is. With the US Air, and I guess now with who bought US Air? I forgot.
No, US Air bought American.
Okay, American. That's good.
I got a friend of mine who works for Delta. She's still flying, and she's 71 years old.
Wow.
She's number 500 on our seniority list. I think they got, over 30,000 flight attendants?
Right. Yeah. And can you imagine having to put up with conditions like this passenger in 14A with passenger in 15A? And we have all flown with Eastern, not only as employees, but as pass riders. And we've seen a lot of stuff that these flight attendants, who really truly represent Eastern Airlines in flight, and there are the Eastern representatives or any airline's representatives. And they do the best they can with what they have, and they never know who they have from one landing to the next landing or takeoff. And so give the flight attendants a lot of credit. Any questions?
I think I read one. one of the programs that came across my desk as a tech service supervisor was at Eastern, and of course this was back when it was flying a lot of airplanes at that time, that the flight attendants is 80% of the perception of the flying public.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That is amazing.
And that's why Southwest over the years, I think, I don't know what you guys think, but I think Southwest over the years have done a brilliant job in marketing the airline through its employees and mainly through the cabin crew. Steve, in flight operations, what do you have for us, Steve?
Yes, thank you, Neil. Well, recently an airline pilot was reportedly caught texting during takeoff on a flight from North Carolina. According to FoxNews.com, which was published on September 4th, 2015. An airline pilot flying as a passenger from Charlotte, North Carolina to Tampa, Florida, reportedly was caught texting on his cell phone while a plane was taking off in violation of federal regulations. And the Charlotte Observer reports passenger Chad Tillman used his own cell phone to capture footage of the unidentified pilot as he was texting in his seat. Both men were on an American Airlines flight, but a spokesman for American told a newspaper that the pilot works for a different airline. As soon as the plane landed in Florida, Tillman wrote a letter to American Airlines CEO Doug Parker to tell him what he saw, according to the Observer. "I'm sure he is a good pilot, but even a small lapse of judgment in his profession could get people killed, and it bothers me that he can so casually disregard FAA regulations in public view," Tillman wrote. American Airlines spokesman Andrea Uguli told the newspaper she knows the other airline addressed the issue with the pilot, but she didn't disclose the pilot's identity or which airline he worked for. Though the FAA has eased the rules governing electronic devices on planes, passengers are still not allowed to text or make calls during takeoff and in flight. They are still allowed to access their phones as long as they are set in the airplane mode. Tillman, who is a Charlotte patent attorney, told the Observer his phone was in the airplane mode while taking the video during takeoff. He told the newspaper he was disturbed to see a pilot ignoring the rules. Now, here's an interesting statistic I bet you didn't know. The world's longest nonstop scheduled passenger routes in distance. City pairs may be served using different routings on the return journey, which may be therefore involve different route lengths and journey times. Weather conditions, particularly the direction of the jet streams, also have a significant impact on the time needed to complete the journey. For example, Singapore Flight 21 from Newark to Singapore followed a 9,788 statute mile Great Circle route within 80 statute miles of the geographic North Pole, while its return flight, Flight 22, was a 10,314 statute mile route via Asia and Alaska. The Singapore to Los Angeles route on Singapore Airlines was scheduled for 16 hours and 30 minutes in summer, 15 July 2009, to 15 hours and 35 minutes in the winter, 15 January 2010. On the return trip, the flight was scheduled for 17 hours, 20 minutes in summer, and 18 hours and 5 minutes in the winter. In August 2015, Emirates announced that it would add a direct flight from Dubai to Panama City starting 1 February 2016. The route will be served by Boeing 777-200-200LR, which will take approximately 17 hours, 30 minutes, making it the longest nonstop flight in the world. Hey, now, Steve, ticket counter sales and marketing.
Hey, Steve, you got just a second? Let me stop you there.
Yes, sir.
What do you think the longest flight Eastern had? Do you know, since you were it's kind of a – and I don't know whether you – I don't know personally, and perhaps someone out there would know what the longest flight Eastern Airlines had. I should have looked that up. Yeah, I don't remember either. But
maybe
golly,
from Miami to Brazil, would that's pretty long, isn't it?
Yeah, that would be a long haul. And, of course, we flew, Miami and New York to London?
No, not New York. I think it was just Miami to London with the DC-10.
That's right. Yeah.
When we went to Brazil, though, didn't we stop at Caracas to fuel the airplane?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I never.
That trip, I went to Brazil.
I went to sleep after 4 hours. Los Angeles, as far as I could make it.
Now these trips are require two sets of flight crews, right?
Right. Yeah, I would.
Do they have the
so.
Hour restriction that we do here in the United States?
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine. But can you believe 18 hours and 5 minutes in the air?
Well, what they do is they don't put a whole crew on air. They kind of stagger them. Like the captain will leave. They'll put a different captain in the seat, and then the co-pilot gets up and leaves, and another guy comes back in. You know, so they kind of stagger the crew members. I think it's on. I don't remember the length of the flight. It has to be over 8 hours.
Right.
God. You know
what I want to know is how you get enough people to go from Dubai to Panama City.
Hey,
Florida?
I'll tell you what, I was
Panama
down,
City,
I was down
Florida?
In Panama City. I was there a year ago. It has grown. You probably wouldn't recognize it.
Wow.
I remember the kids used to go there a lot.
Still do. Yep.
High school and college.
Yeah.
Yep. During college week.
Right. Yeah,
we're talking about Panama City, Panama, aren't we, instead of Panama City, Panama, Florida?
Oh, you got a point there.
Yeah.
I never realized that. That's that kitchen table stuff you were talking about,
there
right?
There you go. Steve, you got one more, or someone has, about ticket counter sales and marketing.
Yeah, Jim has that.
Jim, go ahead, Jim.
You know,
talk
lots of
market.
Public address announcements are heard in the airline terminals all around the world. Here's one that you're glad you are not that you were not taking that particular flight. At the airport for a business trip, Maureen, settle down to wait for the boarding announcement at gate 35. Then she heard the voice on the public address system saying, "We apologize for the inconvenience, but BOAC flight 937 will board from gate number 41. Maureen picked up her luggage and carried it over to gate 41. And not 10 minutes later, the public address system told her that flight 937 would in fact be boarding back at gate number 35, where she was before. So again, Maureen gathered in carry-on luggage and returned to the original gate. And just as she was settling down, the public address voice spoke again. "We would like to thank all of the passengers for participating in BOAC's physical fitness program." Who's going to talk about air freight tonight?
Well, you know, how many times have we heard the announcement about flight gate changes? Wow, I don't know. I don't think I would have liked to work out there on the concourse or the boarding areas anyhow. But air freight is another thing. And I've got a real story of an Eastern Boeing 757 that was unloading freight in Portland, Oregon, and that would originate early the next morning. Ground service discovered a monkey had escaped out of his cage sometime during the night, or flight, rather. And when the aircraft parked the passengers unloaded, and the cargo door was opened. The monkey quickly scampered down the loading belt onto the ramp, disappearing into the darkness. The ramp service guys tried and tried to find the monkey, but gave up trying to find the little animal and decided to report their problem to their supervisor. The next day's departure was just at sunrise, with a few people boarding for Seattle, and then the airplane went on to Atlanta. The first officer and the captain did their outside and inside pre-flights, with everything being acceptable for the flight. It was a captain's leg from Portland to Seattle, and the airplane was cleared onto the runway with clearance for takeoff. Slowly advancing the two thrust levers forward to the reduced power takeoff setting, the aircraft started its takeoff roll. The captain took his hand off the ground steering wheel, and with his left hand on the Boeing yoke, his right hand on the thrust levers, and his feet moving the rudder pedals to keep the aircraft lined up with the center line of the runway, he felt a tug at his right pants leg just when the first officer called out V1 speed. Now, V1 speed is the speed at which a rejected takeoff could be made and the aircraft brought to a complete stop on the remaining portion of the runway. This corrective action was taken by the captain, and the aircraft came to a stop on the runway. The first officer declared an aborted takeoff to the control tower without an explanation, simply because he did not know what that explanation should be. He did not know a spider had crawled up the captain's leg. A spider monkey, to be exact. You know, if that were me and something grabbed my leg at V1, I think I'd be out on the expressway. Can you imagine something like that happened to you, Steve? Or
no,
George?
I can't, Neil.
No.
What I want to know is how the monkey got back in the airplane.
Well, at night, you know, you need to leave the. I don't know. It must have crawled up the ramp in Portland, because we did have a jetway there at Portland. I remember that well, and I don't have any clue as to how that monkey got back up there. And I guess it was looking for warmth. And, of course, most of the warmth at night when the airplane overnights is the instrument areas where everything is cooking up there in the cockpit, and it's very warm. And so I would imagine I would look for the comfort of warmth also. And that's where it was, because it was down on the floor behind the main panels, the instrument panels.
Right.
I thought that was funny. But that actually happened to an Eastern crew. I don't know who the crew was or what, but I had heard that. And that's about all of our stories from the various departments for tonight. But we'd like to talk to you a little bit about what's about to happen October 23rd and 24th. Which will be the first annual Eastern Airlines Pioneers reunion and celebration. And we recently had a meeting down in Fort Lauderdale at the Renaissance, Fort Lauderdale Cruiseport Resort Hotel, very beautiful hotel. And We wanted to make sure that all the plans were discussed with the hotel staff and that we would have a very successful, enjoyable reunion. And instead of being a convention, it's really a reunion of the former Eastern employees from all areas of Eastern Airlines. We welcome all to attend the first annual Pioneers, and of course being a former Eastern employee, we consider ourselves pioneers because we have a new Eastern Airlines on the scene now, and it has three aircraft. The latest I've heard, Vito Borelli, are you with us? And perhaps you can bring us up to date on what Eastern does have. Can you?
Yeah, they do have three airplanes. Yes, they do. They just got the latest one last week. They got another 737, which they're using for charter flights. And there's more on the horizon. They're still working on some more. So in time,
okay.
we will be getting more shortly.
Okay. Now, a lot of, from what we've heard, Vito, and perhaps you've heard the latest, but from what we've heard, that Eastern is doing the charter, and this is pretty much according to their business plan.
Yes.
From what Ed Weigel told us in one of our radio shows that we had him on.
Yeah.
And the business plan was to operate a charter until such time that they wanted to enter a scheduled airline operation. And from what I've heard, I think we talked about it last time, that Eastern has actually signed up several sports teams.
Yes,
they
did.
To be their carrier.
They signed up the Miami team with Biola. He's one of our stockholders. That's his team. So they're going to be shuttling this team back and forth to wherever they're playing. So.
Now, when you say the Miami, who is that?
The Panthers, Miami Panthers.
That's a football team.
Pardon?
No, that's a hockey team or football?
Not football. Football's Dolphins. Panthers are hockey.
Baseball.
Yeah, hockey club, yes.
Okay.
Is it an arena football team?
Hockey, yeah, all right.
Hockey team.
Now, you know, what I would throw out there to all of our listeners around the world, I would suggest that you talk to some of the sports teams in your area. And first of all, I would protect myself because I would want to make a dollar out of it. And I would suggest that they consider Eastern Airlines as their preferred charter airline. And I'm sure that when Eastern goes and charters, for instance, the Miami Hurricanes, the college football team, which Eastern served so many years, that there was a contract that had to be signed offering an airplane at every event. And so, our folks out there with the old Eastern could generate business for the new Eastern Airlines by finding teams that perhaps could contact Eastern, the new carrier, and provide those services. What do you guys think about that? I'm always thinking about the entrepreneurial side of making money.
A lot of the teams now, Neil, they have their own aircraft. I know a lot of the baseball teams do. When I was flying with Eastern, we used to charter for the Mets, but I think the Mets have their own, and the Yankees, but I think both teams now have their own aircraft.
Okay. You know, years ago, Eastern Airlines used to do all the charters in Electra for the New York Dodgers. And when the Dodgers moved to Los Angeles, so did one of the pilots, and he became the chief pilot for the Dodgers, the Brooklyn Dodgers, now the L.A. Dodgers, and he remained the chief pilot for years and years. And correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, perhaps you remember, but this guy used to be, when I say this guy, this chief pilot that was got on, he flew for Eastern Airlines, and he flew on some of the charters from the best I can remember. But he started off as a flight attendant or something like that and then worked into the pilot seat. And then eventually he became the chief pilot for the Los Angeles Dodgers for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Neil, am I in the queue?
Yeah.
Bob Furman?
Yes, you are in the queue. Who's this?
Bob Furman.
Hey, Bob Furman. Good to have you with
us. I Googled the Florida Panthers. It's two sentences. The Florida Panthers are a professional ice hockey team based in Sunrise, Florida, in the Miami metropolitan area. They're members of the Atlantic Division of the Eastern Conference of the National Hockey League, NHL. They play their games at the BB&T Center in Sunrise and are the southernmost team in the NHL. So we give them an advertisement for flying with Eastern.
There you go. And, Bob, would you think that the hockey team plays indoors or outdoors?
I would think that they probably play outdoors because of the heat.
We don't have much fun. Yeah, on the radio show.
No, it's just like flight ops. It's flight ops. You know, the chief pilot wants to see you, Neil.
Yeah, that's right. I've heard that before.
Anyhow, I just wanted to.
That's great.
But I heard that maybe they have the Miami Hurricanes, University of Miami. Did somebody hear that they may have picked them up as a charter?
Vito, have you heard any further information about that?
No, I haven't heard any about that, no.
Well, I don't know who talked to us about that. Cecile, maybe you've got the inside information. Yeah.
Who's? Neil, this is Michael Zoll. And hey. The Miami Herald this morning, the University of Miami was picked up with Eastern Airlines.
Mm. Oh, great.
That's me clapping. Yay. You know, our party, that's wonderful news. This is Michael.
Michael Saul.
Okay, Michael, thanks for that breaking news. I should have given you the breaking news music. We have breaking news music on this show. Okay. Okay. But thanks for that report. That is wonderful news. And I have my own little story about chartering the Miami Hurricanes to their national championship.
Ooh.
And I've shared that
Neil,
on many. Yeah.
Neil, was Cecile going to give us a rundown on the reunion?
Yeah, until we started talking too much. Cecile, are you still with us or are you asleep?
Yes, I am. Okay, hi, folks. Thanks, Neil. We're on our way to the first annual reunion, which is October 23rd, 24th, and 25th at the Renaissance Hotel in Fort Lauderdale. By the way, Michael Zell is our photographer. Michael, thank you for volunteering. We really appreciate it.
Right. Thank you, Michael.
Michael, are you still there? Okay. Anyway, Michael
is
going to be our...
I'm here. I'm on mute. Thank you.
Oh, okay. He's going to be our photographer and going to video, and especially the main event. Friday night is the dancing 7 to 11, and we're going to have a flashback video with Joe, the my favorite DJ, and he's going to do an awesome job. So anybody that has pictures, email them to me. Email is cecileeasternair@gmail.com. Mr. Weigel emailed me over the weekend, and him and Susan are coming, Mrs. Weigel. And, of course, he's going to be our main speaker and bring us up to date on the new Eastern Airlines. We're going to have fun and games. Book authors, Neil Holland's book, The Wings of Many, of which I have a copy, and also Roland Moore and Vito's book is going to bring their book, The Wings of Man, which is really selling hot, and all the proceeds from The Wings of Man book goes to ERA.
Correct.
And Vito, your sales are really going good, and on Facebook I see it acknowledged all the time. There'll be raffle tickets. More importantly, Ed Weigel and the new Eastern Airlines have donated round-trip ticket. Notice I said round-trip ticket to Cuba for two. And hotel accommodations for in Havana for two nights. The authors will be there signing your books. People will be selling their own memorabilia. Those that are selling their memorabilia will be manning their own table. We'll have tables for them. The first night, Friday night, you have two free drink tickets. Then it's the cash bar. The hotel is the Renaissance Hotel. I do have three rooms that have been reserved at the $189 rate. So anybody needing a hotel room, As a matter of fact, I think it's going to be two because someone emailed me this morning that they want one. So I have two rooms left at 189, but there's plenty of hotels in the adjacent area, and some of them are even cheaper than 189, I've been told. What else? Dinner Saturday night. You're going to be treated to Pamela Martina, who used to sing with Julio Iglesias. She did the duet Feelings, and her voice is going to blow you out of the, going to blow it out of the water, or out of whatever it's going to blow out. She's got an awesome, awesome voice. She's going to sing the national anthem and treat us to some other popular songs. And a whole, all of the above for $100 for both days per person. So if you haven't registered yet, just shoot me an email. I'll send you the package. It's real easy. And you get beef or chicken for dinner. If you're a vegetarian, they will accommodate you. Again, it's only $100 for 2 days. And we're going to have loads of music of our really good music. And again, the email is Cecile, C-E-C-I-L-E, easternair@gmail.com, or go on the website and tell Neil, and he'll forward it to me. I think I covered it all, Neil. Did I forget anything?
No, you didn't. Wonderful job, Cecile. But maybe I can just add a little bit after the semicolon or colon. I forgot which one it is, but... we do have authors such as George Jen, who will be there. George is one of our hosts. He's on the air tonight with you. And George is bringing some copies of his book, so you'll be able to purchase it there. And I'm sure George will gladly autograph or give you a signature in his book. And I have heard so many wonderful comments about George's book. I attended the Retired Eastern Pilots Association convention 2 weeks ago in Mobile, Alabama. Actually, not in Mobile, but in Fairhope, Alabama, on the east side of Mobile Bay. And I was given about 15 minutes to talk. And I asked the crowd there, how many have you, you people, you Eastern pilots, read George Jen's book, Final Destination Disaster, the true story of Eastern Airlines. But at any rate, just, well, I guess 75% raised their hand. So, George, your book is very successful among the Eastern people, and we hope that more Eastern people will be there to buy your book. And we do have an extra show that we're going to run. Hopefully it'll work out for us that we will, because George's book, I always thought of George's book as divided into two divisions. George, you might not like me hear me talking about it this way, but there's a story about Eastern and what we went through and how the airline was sold and, you know, what happened to the employees and, you know, the fight that we had to try to keep the airlines. And also half of the book, or I don't know what percentage of the book, but a great deal of the book was about Flight 980. And we've had some shows in the past about Flight 980. And we've got a video to show you there when we have George there signing books, and hopefully everyone will be buying George's book. George, any comments about that? Hopefully you'll be there.
Yeah, I will be, Neil. Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate it. I'm just curious, how many people have we had so far approximately said they would be there?
We don't have the number yet total, but we're tallying 4 or 5 6. Don't have a total yet.
Okay.
I couldn't get that, but... we'll have a number. This is the first annual, and we call it a reunion instead of a convention. Most groupings like this get together annually, and they call themselves a convention. The flight attendants have reserved a number of table seats. And by the way, speaking of that, I've often thought that it would be good for groups that were hired together, whether it be in sales and marketing ramp service or maintenance or flight operations or in-flight service, ground service, whatever, that usually when the Eastern hired folks, they hired classes. And, for instance, the flight attendants, and they took pictures of the classes. So the class of February the 11th, 1963, just giving an example of a class, they might want to consider, hey, this is a good place to hold our reunion, our class reunion, at the reunion and celebration that we're having in Fort Lauderdale. So please think about that, and if you can get two or three people in your class to attend this convention, then we'd be happy to have you and recognize you at our banquet. And although we'll recognize anyone that wants to say something, we have a microphone on the floor as well as a speaker's microphone, which we will have Ed Wiggle as our keynote address speaker. And I think we'll have a good time. And I know after meeting Cecile, Joe, our DJ, you guys are really going to be entertained on the first evening of this reunion.
It's going to be phenomenal. Just a reminder, our Friends of Eastern Airlines people, it's not just Eastern Airlines former employees, and also Ed Wiggle is sending an email to invite the current Eastern Airlines people. And again, the main prize is a round-trip ticket to Havana, so you don't want to miss out on that. And we look forward to seeing you all.
Did you talk about the raffle tickets that we'll be selling during the day, both days?
I forgot to mention that. Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll be selling raffle tickets. We've already had some people that are sending in their registration form that are already buying their tickets along with their check that they're sending for their registration of $100 for the two days, and they're sending extra money for their raffle tickets. So we'll be selling raffle tickets, and you'll get two for one. You get two tickets for a dollar, and the rewards will be not only in the dollars, but we'll also have rewards of personal donations that some of the folks that have given certain items to go along with the raffles, and we'll be giving that as well. We'll have a concession. I think you mentioned, Cecile. We'll have a concession of those folks that do have Eastern memorabilia, Eastern whatever. I think Bill Hirsch, excuse me. Bill Hirsch will be there with some Eastern T-shirts or caps or whatever. I forgot exactly what he'll be promoting. And so there will be a lot of things that you'll buy at the reunion. So we really hope you make your plans. And any questions?
Yeah. One other thing. We might have the honor of having Rickenbacker's granddaughter present. They just moved to Florida, and we're going to see if they can come. We'd love to have them there. So they might be there, his granddaughter. The other thing is, I want to thank Penny Ripple for helping us with the event. She's got event planning because we're like kitchen table event planners, right, Neil?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Penny Ripple's guiding us the right way, and also Beverly Lapointe, thank you for helping us. And, of course, Dorothy, who's helped us in the past. But I just want to thank Penny for her time that she's in Panama, and she'll be flying in for the event. And she's really been a tremendous help.
By the way, I want to put in a pitch also for those folks over in Pensacola, Florida. They're having an event. I can't remember the exact date, but I believe it's the next few weeks. They'll have a get-together of all those Eastern employees that worked in the Mobile, Pensacola, Panama City, and the Panhandle all the way. I believe they're having an event. I just saw that on the Retired Eastern Pilots Bulletin, and they're asking for anyone in the area that wants to attend that to please I don't have a contact number, but I just came to my mind, and I want to throw that out as well. But we'll see if we can have more information about the dates and time and place. So not only the reunion coming up in October, but also a Pensacola get-together of former Eastern people. And that's why we're an Eastern family.
Hey, Neil, this is Vito again.
Yeah, Vito.
We're going to have two or three tables. We'll be selling shirts, hats, license plates, Eastern cups, and all kinds of stuff that we have gathered, put together. So we will be selling a lot of stuff there also. So.
Very good. And the book also, right?
Also the book. I will be there myself. I will be signing the book that I sell. It's a book that myself and Roland Moore have put together, so I will sign all the books that we sell. So we're going to have a grand time, I believe. So thank you.
Okay, and Roland Moore will be there.
Yes, he will.
And yeah, and I have a special, I don't know what it's called, a presentation to make. If we can just get one of the family members of Captain Eddie Rickenbacker. And I recall that I was at the induction ceremonies at Warner Robins of Captain Eddie into the Georgia Aviation Hall of Fame. And I was fortunate enough to be the person that submitted Captain Eddie Rickenbacker's name for the first class in the Hall of Fame, the Florida Aviation Hall of Fame, which he was unanimously elected into that class. And I was fortunate enough to receive a beautiful plaque. And so we'll see what happens to that plaque when we have the reunion in Fort Lauderdale. I've got a beautiful plaque that I want to give to someone. And I've had it on my shelf for a long, long time. And I need to find the perfect place for it. So we're hoping that we can get the folks or one of the relatives, hopefully the granddaughter of Captain Eddie. And but we'll see what happens to that. And it's going to be a fun time. Any other discussions that we have tonight?
Newspaper comes out this weekend, Vito. October 1st, Vito. Like we have an article there with all the information regarding the reunion, and everything is there. We have a half page ad there that Isabel typed for us, so it's going to be in the newspaper, which comes out next week.
That's a good
Neil,
point.
This is Jim.
Yeah, Jim.
I received my book, The Wings of Man, yesterday. And what a fantastic piece it is. I was very surprised, Vito. They put two of my articles in there. And
yeah.
I'm bringing the book with me to our October EARA meeting to show all of our members and asking if they get going to get their copy. Do I understand that for employees or retirees, the book is available for about $15, but normally... Yeah. Just about $30 on the open market.
Yeah. Well, it's $15 plus shipping charges.
This is Michael again, Neil.
Yes, Michael, go ahead.
Just to correct that, it's the pre-printing price was $15. The post-printing price for everybody is $29.95 or $30 plus shipping and handling. Of $10.
Okay.
And Wilson's bringing a bunch of books yeah. to at the function. So they'll have books available so you can save the shipping charge if you're attending the reunion.
That's correct.
Cecile? Yeah, that's correct. We're going to have between 40 and 60 books we're going to bring in, and more if we need some.
Okay. Cecile, you got another caller.
I'm sorry?
Someone said Cecile.
Oh, telling me, I guess. Was that you, Mike?
That was okay. me earlier.
Okay. Yeah, he was just informing us that they're going to have a slew of...
Go ahead, Cecile.
Veto signature. Get veto signature and Roland's signature and the book, and you save the shipping charge.
Golly,
that's
Pete. Yeah.
That's correct.
Where can you go for 2 days and get all these signatures? Wow. We're going to have a lot of fun, folks. Good talking about this. And this is, I guess this is why Eastern Airlines is going to be in the public's eye for a long, long time to come, because of people like the former Eastern Airlines family. We are family. We like to promote Eastern Airlines, and we're going to promote the new Eastern Airlines just as strong, and because we love Eastern Airlines, the name, and because of these wonderful people that have put together a corporation. They put together so much man hours to put the Eastern Airlines name back in the air. And it's just, I don't know. I hope you have the same feeling that I have. It's a wonderful feeling. So, anyhow, any other statements or profound statements, I should say, that we have from anyone out there in the audience? In that case, I hear the music, Jim Hart.
Wow. Holy Blue Sunoco. What a great show tonight, folks. Mr. Producer, I think we're ready for national syndication. Where does the time go when you're having fun? You know, it's always fun to talk about Eastern Airlines, and we feel that we have truly earned the title of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. And it's all because of you, our callers, our listeners, our guests, and our hosts. We hope you'll listen again next week when our episode flight number 234 departs the gate on time at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday evening. Until then, we all say good night, Eastern family. Good night.
Good night, Eastern.
Good night.
Good night.
I want Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe display. Men sing my song. and day.